This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Like most car buyers, you want to get the most for your money. That's why more Mazda buyers choose Ramsey Mazda. Get impressive offers on a new Mazda CX-30 or a Mazda CX-5 starting at just $29,276. Over 1,000 new Mazda vehicles to choose from. Visit RamseyMazda.com. Get the most for your money at Ramsey Mazda. Choose wisely. Choose Ramsey Mazda.
Nobody.
Draymond Green.
Oh, that's the only one. Draymond playing hockey. Everybody else playing basketball. Draymond, he take it to a whole nother level. At one point, he wasn't even playing defense. He was just kicking you in your ding-ding.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, stay tuned. It's the crossover now. And coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll have the What's Bugging You segment sponsored by Atco Pest Control, swatting away yellow jackets for good. Nothing, I say nothing, ruins a backyard hang like those yellow jackets. Get them out, and Atco can help you.
Damon Wayans with you guys, awesome.
Or Marlon.
Marlon. Either one.
He did Damon, but you're right. It was Marlon.
Yeah, it was Marlon.
He did his Damon. He did his Keenan.
Those were great.
He was Chris Rock. Awesome. His Chris Rock was his best.
It went too fast. His Chris Rock story was wonderful about the fact that that happened because of him. And, I mean, that is, it's a way roundabout way. But the way he told it, I'm buying it. If there is a God, then, yeah, that's what happened. Will Smith did that to Chris Rock because of the Wayans family.
Wow.
I don't want to think Chris Rock's a bad guy.
Well, he didn't say he was ribbing.
I planted the seed.
Not a bad guy.
Comedians are never, don't take anything at face value.
That was my first time interviewing one. Dibs, it was incredible. It was like watching him do stand-up.
Yeah, and I do think that, like, he tells that story because of, you know, if it's true about Chris Rock and...
I believe it.
You know... the younger or the 19-year-old girl that he was trying to holler at. And Chris is like, you know, hold my beer, the whole thing. But if that is true, that makes it so that Chris Rock loves and respects that family even more because that's the way that goes. Yeah. He's 14. He's got no shot at a 19-year-old girl.
I missed the 14-year-old part.
He was 14.
He was 14.
Yeah. Yeah, Marlon was 14, and the girl was 19. Chris Rock swooped in and said, no, young man, you're not ready. You're not quite ready for this, and so you can go ahead and watch me do this. And, you know, he held it against him, kind of, not really, but he was awesome, bottom line.
Well, yeah, you missed that part. Were you there for the interview? I didn't hear you much.
Willard.
What?
This is why I respect you.
Oh, and that's
a
compliment.
Like God.
I think you'll know this. Sometimes you get so caught up in an interview, you actually don't listen.
Oh,
you're thinking of your next question, and you're...
What's one of the mistakes interviewers make.
Yeah. I made it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I'm like, don't write all those questions down and be reading your next one.
Dude.
And then the answer that they give you might be something like, who knows? Like Steve Kerr might be like, I'm not playing Jonathan Kuminga ever again. And then you're
Steve, tell me about Quinn Post.
Yeah, how did you feel about Moses Moody?
You
got to be ready for the follow-up.
Oh, no, man.
You got to be ready.
Absolutely.
Memphis won. Memphis lost. That was, boy, that third quarter. Were you watching?
Dude, you know what?
That was a snowball effect.
I know
Holy
it's a game
crap.
Of runs, Steiny, but wow.
Jeez.
That was a run by many.
How the hell does Memphis get to Denver and recover tonight?
It's a good question.
We thought Denver was in shambles.
Everybody's in shambles.
Battle of the new coaches tonight, right?
You know what? You know, better keep your eye on what's happening in the Mile High City because they are united.
Mm. Jamal Murray's back, right?
Oh.
I think he's back in this game. That's what I heard.
Yeah, no, I don't like to hear that. That's what my streets told me.
Wow. Jamal Murray's going to play tonight.
Wow.
And Memphis is going to get it handed to him again, and therefore the Warriors are going to clinch the seventh seed.
There it is.
With a win.
With a win. Oh, the Warriors The Warriors are winning.
You mean six
seed. They don't clinch seven with a win, do they?
They do. If Memphis also loses in Denver.
But what if...
We don't want seven.
No, Minnesota.
No. Memphis would not be able to catch the Warriors.
Right.
So therefore, the worst the Warriors could do would be seven.
Oh, right. I thought six. I get them all mixed up.
Which I disagree with Coach yesterday. He says not a death sentence, but to me, we got Butler. Well, we don't want that.
Didn't he say this was a little two sides of the mouth, and I don't think he meant to do this, but you can't say the play-in tournament's not a death sentence. And then in the next sentence, you're talking about the Spurs game the night before, and you're like, well, that's the NBA. Anybody can get you on any given night. I'm like, that's why the damn play-in tournament's a death sentence.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants that. Nobody wants it. It's too stressful. I don't have it in me.
Yep.
And we may have to have it in us.
Let's hope not.
What did you think about his answer of Kuminga, Butler, and Draymond?
Do you know that I just tweeted out the quote? And it has almost a 500,000 impressions.
I bet.
That's how, all I did, I didn't mess up the quote. I changed the names in different directions, but the same names. But I know it would have driven Evan crazy. But anyway, point being is, there's no escaping how sort of polarizing everybody finds this subject matter. What did I make of it? I actually think that interests me less about now and more about the offseason.
I don't disagree with that.
If Jonathan Kuminga does not work on the floor with Jimmy Butler and Draymond Green, then how do you pay him a lot of money?
Yeah.
How much can he be worth to the Warriors? That's my first question.
Yeah, and if you look at the salaries, if you're not a starter, you usually don't get more than 20. And there are very few starters who make more than that, bench players outside of Ben Simmons, maybe.
Well, look at Moses, who is his draft mate, and he signed early, and he got 3 for $39. And right now, if you look at Moses versus Jonathan Kuminga, right now on this team, who is more important?
Moses.
Right, and he signed for 3 and $39. So to think that Jonathan is going to get 4 and $120 or 3 and $100. I do think is nonsense, because what you're seeing and what you're hearing is that, Jonathan Kuminga right now, and we can get into this later in our show, but it feels like he is the eighth man right now when all things are created equally, because when you look for bench help in a really tight game, GP2, on-ball defense, corner 3, Kevon Looney, jumper cables in the trunk, Swiss Army knife, and then JK.
Yeah.
So if JK is the eighth man, and we can talk about Quentin or Buddy, and maybe JK is the ninth man, or he's probably not the 10th man, and I'm not trying to disparage Jonathan Kuminga, but when you look at right now, to Mark's point, forget next year, right now, this team and the import of who you have and what you need, he's probably your eighth man.
Yeah, and Willard, I don't know if you and Dibs heard Steiny say, oh, Goo, walk him across the street, because I've been pro, I'll just use pro Kuminga in the idea of what the gifts that he has and the potential and whatnot. But what I will say and stand up for is, okay, he's not starting. He's not playing 30 minutes, but he's getting 20. He's getting 21. And I feel like every night when I see you get stripped left and right or not rebound, and I love JK, but it's becoming clear before that interview yesterday that you are not taking advantage of an opportunity to turn that 20 in the said night into 25 or 30. And I asked Donnie this real quick. I said, if you were listening to Willard and Dibs and you were Kuminga yesterday when he said he doesn't fit with Dre and Jimmy, well, who's the odd man out in that? What do you think in regard to why it doesn't fit? And then I take you back to Wiggins. As much as I wanted to see that, and I kept bellyaching, I want to see Wiggins and Kuminga. So at some point, I'll wrap this up. The onus is on JK, and I don't feel, even though you can score 12, but you're not doing the other things to make them change why you're not in the game. The other night when Castle's getting around everybody and you got the foot speed to keep up, but they even said, you know what? We don't even want to run you out there.
Well, sometimes he does. I mean, he certainly did last Thursday in L.A.
Right? Soaring through the sky.
And I know that this is hard because everybody gets so, so emotional about Jonathan. I actually, this isn't about Jonathan.
Right.
It's just about shooting in the NBA. And so Jonathan can switch this, I guess, if he wants, by becoming a great three-point shooter. But he's not. And you can't put those three guys on the floor together. And that's not Jonathan's fault that Draymond and Jimmy are also not good three-point shooters. The bottom line is you can't put three of them out there at once. And the other two are Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler.
And that,
so wow. That's not, it's not Jonathan's, like, fault. His skill set is his skill set.
And the Butler trade,
Well, the other,
let's be honest.
I mean, that's kind of what Steve said.
The Butler trade, it really hurt him.
It took minutes from him.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I think we got to put into the equation, too, is that once next year comes around, what's Steve Kerr going to do? He's going to try to limit Draymond's minutes at 5. That means he's going to play 4. That means Butler's playing 3. So that just, he's got 2 Hall of Fame starters in front of him for, you know, I mean, I'm just using that to make it extreme, but he does. And those two guys are two of the three most important guys on the team. And I'm with Mark. I think he's still going to play from tonight on through the playoffs, and he's going to get his opportunity. And I think there'll be some games where he helps and some games where he doesn't. But I agree, moving forward, this has now become something they're going to have to deal with. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, now broadcasting from the Laughing Monk Studios. Laughing Monk, righteously brewed in San Francisco. All right, it's what's bugging you.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to follow up real quick before we get to that. Like, you talked about him as a 3 or as a 4. Steiny, you're the basketball expert in the room. What is he?
I think he's a 4.
And I asked
a lot of people
today
disagree with me.
If you're Draymond, a 4, then you have to be able to rebound. And you have to be able to defend, like, 4s. I do think that the way you laid that out, it had me thinking, like, he's not a 3 because he can't score from behind the line. And he's not a 4 because he can't traditionally defend 4. So it just made me think about, like, who is he?
You know,
what is he?
This also could twist his way. Like, this is day by day, as we've been learning.
And he's getting time.
Depends on the matchups that they draw. Because if they do draw Houston or something like that,
need that, man.
He is the only guy on the floor or on the team who can sort of match their athleticism and length. The problem is that if you go with that, then it can kind of screw with things on the other end.
And
of
that's
the floor.
What's so but mad.
It could turn his way.
He's 101, and they all are, right. But no, Jonathan Kuminga is like, he's that young, athletic dude. Tap into it, man.
Yeah, but what's working is what's working. That's what that's Steve's got the final say, because it's like, look at the record. Jimmy arrived. They got really good.
Yeah.
He's going to play a lot of minutes. Draymond's going to play a lot of minutes. And if all of their analytics are like, this, the three of them can't be on the floor together, there's just not that much left.
Yeah, I look at it as, I kind of put him in the same group as like a guy like Draymond Green or Barkley. And I think he's like a 3.5. And if you look at a guy like Barkley or Draymond, why did Draymond fall to the second round? Because he was an undersized forward. So the thinking was he's not big enough to guard 4s, and he's not quick enough to play 3. Well, Draymond Green proved that he was quick enough to play 3 and strong enough to play 4. So he had an advantage no matter where, or he had the ability to play both positions and excel at both positions. And I think that, like, Kuminga's got to figure out how, when he plays 3, he can be effective defending 3s and on offense in that spot. And Draymond got around it because he was such a good passer offensively. And then 4, he's got to figure out a way, if he has to guard 4s, he can guard 4s. And then if he can take them off the dribble from the perimeter, then he's got the advantage. All right. Hey, Let me tell you something about ACCO Pest Control and their season-long yellow jacket trapping. That keeps the buzz out of your space so you can do this. You can grill, chill, and enjoy the outdoors without the sting. No chemicals, no hassle, just solid protection from the pests that bug you most. Book now at atcopestcontrol.com and mention what's bugging you and you get 10% off all your yellow jacket trapping services. ATCO Pest Control, natural protection for the home and the backyard that you love. I'll tell you what's bugging me. And I know what you guys are trying to do, but are you guys aware that we're getting new microphones?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're getting new microphones.
Because you constantly break them?
I'm not sure if that's the main reason, but yes, it's an offshoot.
Okay.
Apparently, they're going to come from the bottom now that they don't obscure the view.
Started from the bottom. Well, that makes sense. Now they're here.
That makes sense. And that's my song.
The problem is they're going to be mostly stationary.
Right.
So as somebody who gets up and down a lot, it's going to be a big adjustment for me. It's going to be like Kaminga trying to learn the three.
I mean, why do you have to? And I watch you on YouTube. But why? Like, is it something that we've therapized, or is it something that like goes back to your? Because when we were kids, there was no such thing as ADD. You were hyper, or you were a spaz.
Yeah,
there was no such thing as like ADD or ADHD. Have you been diagnosed such?
Before you answer, to piggyback on
you answer first.
Sure. Ms. Johnson texts: Does Steiny have nervous energy?
Yes.
He can't sit still.
That's correct.
Is that Mia?
Yes, Mia.
Yeah, fidgeters are just fidgeters. Yeah.
So what's he going to do when he can't do that?
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Do it with my legs. You know, like if you're just sitting on a couch and you just bounce the leg or like, you know, move the feet around.
Like the camera's not following your leg.
She'll put her hand on my leg like, stop. You're shaking the whole couch. I'm like, I didn't even know I was doing anything. It just does it on its own.
Hey, Leo Mazzoni. He did. Yeah. The rocker.
We're people. We're weird, man. Got weird stuff.
All right.
But got weird stuff.
Anyway, so I gotta prepare for that this weekend.
Yeah.
You should get a ball, something in your hand to kind of.
Yeah. Or the old fidget spinner where you had like spin it.
Actually,
I think that's somebody had given it to him.
No, he gave it to me and a listener also. All right. What else?
Oh, that's what's bugging you?
Yeah.
The fact that you're going to have to adjust to a...
I couldn't think of anything else.
Okay.
I got a quickie.
Go ahead.
If you want to just get it out of the way.
Not like a quickie.
No, yeah. Amen.
Amen corner.
We're on it right now. I am bugged. It's spring break for the kids.
Oh, boy.
I am bugged by anybody who has not turned 21 yet who ever says they're exhausted. I don't know. Like, what is the matter with you? Why do you think that if you walk the dog for 8 minutes, you're like, I'm so tired. I need to sit down. I have to watch TV. I have to scroll on my phone for 8 hours. I'm exhausted. I went outside one time and I came back in and now I need a snack. I'm exhausted. I can't take out the trash. I took out the trash a week ago. I'm exhausted. I can't. Teenagers, you're not tired ever.
This is
period.
Great.
Let's move on. That's it.
Don't even know.
Pick something else. You are not tired. If you got something else go on, maybe you need a fidget spinner. I don't know. You're not tired. Move on.
I love it. That's a great one. Go ahead, dude.
That's all.
You know what is bugging me, and it's something that's been bugging me for a long time, and it's underaged, non-licensed drivers on these e-bikes. And by e-bike, what I mean is moped. And if you remember when we were kids, Steiny and Goo and Mark, you're now in your 50s, so you remember, like, when you were a kid and you had a bike, there were pedals. And in order for the bike to move, you put your feet on the pedals and you actually pedaled, and then the bike moved. And if you were good enough and if it was downhill enough, you could go really fast and you were actually riding a bike. Nowadays, these kids, these little punks, and you see them. Steiny, I know you see him.
I see him.
And boy, do I see him. They are not pedaling, and they have their little throttle. And these things go between 20 and 40 miles an hour, and you're 13. You don't know how to drive a car. You don't have a license. You don't know the first thing about nothing, you little punk. And yet, you're out there zipping around thinking that you're something and somebody. And you know what's sad is you've had some tragic accidents. You've had kids who have had permanent brain injury. You've had cars who have accidentally crashed into these little, and I want to say bikers, but they're not biking. So all of you out there in the e-bike industry, all of you e-bike pushers, you might as well be selling e-cigarettes to these kids because it's equally addictive, it's equally dangerous, and these kids who don't have a driver's license should not be allowed to pull a throttle and go 30 miles an hour on a two-wheeled vehicle. That's what's bugging me.
Wow. No, that's real. Man.
It's real for
comments
kids.
From the room.
No, no.
Comments from the room.
They're very expensive, too.
$5,000.
Are they $5,000?
Oh, yeah. I already went through the...
Five racks?
Well, they can be.
Like, okay. So the only like take is else. They're very expensive.
Well,
so you're in agreement that...
That's been my... Well, no, right. I'm not necessarily in agreement fully, but I that's been my experience with my children asking for an e-bike. That there was a Christmas where we went through the mental warfare through the months of October and November... of I want an e-bike. And these are kids that, you know, normally, like, you put your list together, and I'm the type of dad that I'd like to get you your top thing. Yeah. But not if your top thing is 3K.
No doubt.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that. And the kid had to learn that,
no,
you can't just put anything at the top of the list.
Yeah.
And so I won that one. I don't win a lot, but I won that one.
Yeah, when my son was 13, he said, Dad, you know what I want? A crack pipe.
No, he didn't.
No,
of course not. But yeah. Honestly, like,
shout out Chris Rock.
As a parent, for any parent out there who has your kid who does not have a license and they're on one of these e-bikes, and I actually saw a story about a kid who went on the internet and they found a way to soup up their e-bike to make it go 44 miles an hour. And this kid's 13. So now you have a 13-year-old, helmet or no helmet, who knows, on an e-bike that's going 44 miles an hour. What are we doing? Because back in the day, Steiny, if you wanted to ride your bike 44 miles an hour, your legs were moving. You were pedaling.
Better find a hill.
I guess I'm alone. I guess I'm alone in my outrage.
Evan had a friend that passed away on one of those accidents on those things.
Right.
So,
and he was an adult.
Yeah, well, I'm just
correct.
Yeah. So anyway, silence is complicit. So you guys you're in favor of kids on e-bikes.
Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah. No, I'm with them.
Well, I mean, right, here we go. Now that your kids are adults, that, you know.
Oh, no, no. Yeah, I'm going to say
Guru
that.
Said this
no,
is heavy.
No,
oh, it's
no.
Not. That, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah, I'll change it. So what's bugging me is buffering. So I take my TV seriously, and I'm a TV snob. So if you invite me over, which I watched the Super Bowl Charles a couple years ago.
When
the
you
TV
finally found it.
Yep. Exit. Yep. Excellent. My Wi-Fi is slowing down.
Mm.
And now I have YouTube TV, which is not connected through an HDMI cable.
Right.
I'm dependent on the internet. And whatever's going on at our home, I was told I can call my provider and they could give me the faster speed. I was mad. I thought we had it. I was excited. And they go, we're sorry, Mr. Johnson, in your area, you have the fastest speed. So I've been watching games on replay and live, and it buffers. And there's nothing like watching something when you know it's already, it's good, it's going, it's happening, but you're not for you because you're buffering. Then you get the remote and hit pause thinking you can fix the buffering, but you can't. And I'm telling you guys, I am depressed. We're empty nesters, so the kids aren't even in there with their electronics taken from the wire. I don't know what's going on, but I don't even want to go home tonight.
You didn't buffer in the middle of the Harrison Barnes shot, did you?
Oh, no, no. I was in Norm. So, yeah, I was at high speed there. But, man, I'm telling you, I got a problem. I got to fix it.
No, that's a big problem.
My unit's defective, Steiny.
You got to fix it.
Yeah.
Wait, no, someone's got to be able to help you with that.
They said something.
What do you mean?
Where all of a sudden, where I'm at.
Turn the mic on.
Yeah, why are you? What,
you should have saw him in the meeting yesterday.
Jeez. Who's talking?
Relax.
Put your bag down.
It's payday.
I will not.
Why?
Because I'm ready to go.
You got
to
learn how to stop fidgeting.
Dude.
The mic, like, you do this next week, we're not even going to be able to know where you are. You're going to have to relax.
You got to lose this guilt trip thing you're giving me every single day.
And Dim used to do it every day when we had a show,
too. Dude, it's no guilt trip.
I want you to adjust.
You used to Hannibal Lecter style.
Don't spend 25 minutes talking about how much you love him and then, like, come down his road when he's sweating you for leaving early.
It wasn't 25 minutes.
Look at them, not me. You want to take it out on me?
Look at me.
Look at both of them.
Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Get off him.
But imagine if we went to 227, though.
I won't.
Imagine if we just had 14 more minutes to just shoot it.
You know what I will do?
If you're going to be on the tip, don't cry when he calls you out for leaving early.
I'm going to imagine that right now.
You know what I want you to know?
On 95.7.
You can stay.
I wish you would buffer for a second.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when buffering used to be an aspirin.
Oh, God. My unit's defective.